you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. We have some new peeps in the building here. We have Hosanna, Courtney, and Hannah, and Miss Tara, of course, and myself, Sandy. If you've been tuning in, we've been in James. We are now starting James 4, 1 through 12. We've discussed wisdom, taming the tongue, and now we're going to start talking about drawing closer to God and our faith. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but I've been reading it. I'm just looking at all this stuff on, all this worldly stuff that we hang on to, and we forget Christ is who we need to hang on to.
Mm, that's so good. I love this passage. This particular chapter was so powerful in my life. When I was y'all's age in college, I was just blown away at the simplicity of the truths that James writes out, how to get near to God, and the fact that if I draw near to God and I resist Satan, he flees. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a novel idea to me, and so I'm really looking forward to getting into this. So that in case somebody has never read the book of James, I just want to get you caught up to some of the things we've talked about for the last few months, and that the people that he is writing to are the dispersed Christians that are all over now, everywhere, and they're having issues all over the place because they've been thrown outside of the close-knit community they were in, and they're having to really press in and work hard to fight for their Christian beliefs and what it means to truly be a Christ follower. And so James isn't writing to one person, or one church. He is writing to all of those that are dispersed. And so that's the mindset of why he's written it. And I love my husband's explanation for the book of James. When I was first being discipled, this book is actually the first book I ever studied. Greg and I, when he was kind of trying to, I think this is the girl I want, he's like, but she's kind of not where she needs to be. He's like, why don't we do the book of James together? Because he calls it the basic instructions before leaving earth, that it's a good book to give you all of that. And today he does, in the chapter 4, we'll see, he does a pretty awesome job in laying out in detail what needs to happen. So I'm looking forward to it. So let's open up, and we're going to read chapter 4, verses 1 through, I think, let's do, we're going to go through verse 11. Okay, so Hosanna, would you read for us today?
Yeah, starting in verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. This is so beautiful. I'm just sitting through and listening as you were reading it, Hosanna, of all the things that have caught and taught me at different times. You know, they say the best lessons are caught instead of taught. Yep. May God do that today. Okay, so to get us off to start, I want you guys to think of maybe a time in your life where you had a humbling experience and you can laugh at it now. You know, something that, you know, oh, you know, you're kind of like, are you kidding me? I can't believe that just happened. But you look back and it's like, okay, that's worth laughing at. So I'll share one with you. When I was at the University of Houston and I was studying to be a speech pathologist, that's what I studied before I ended up changing my degree plan. And I had, it was actually because of these circumstances that, not this particular one, but a whole bunch of them. I had a little guy that every time he came into class, he would crawl underneath the table and he would not engage, and he would hit his head up against the wall and bite his hand. And I just was, how do I get to him? Because my whole goal for the whole semester was just to get him to sit at the table. That was my classroom assignment goal for him as a teacher. And the way the lab school was set up, we had this huge window. And in that window, the chair from my school of communications was there, and the parent was there, and the counselor for the young man was there, and a student studying how to do speech pathology as well was observing. And we were required to wear pantyhose and suits and pump shoes, really dressy. So I had to crawl and get underneath the table, and everything is video recorded, and it had to stay on video for 7 years. As I was crawling underneath the table with my bum facing them, my skirt split all the way. All the way. And I'm just down there and I'm thinking, okay, I can't leave my student and I have them. How do I do this gracefully without it being there for posterity forever? And I can't walk out of my classroom. And so it was probably also my final grade, I think, at the point. So I just had to sit down gracefully, and I was so humiliated. But now I can look back and I can laugh. You know, it was just one of those moments you're kind of like, oh man, that was bad. But now I look back and I can laugh. It was just kind of one of those things you go, I can't do anything about it. We have those moments, don't we?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them. I usually just laugh anyway, because you've got to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, but I have way too many. But when you brought up the clothes incident, when I taught junior high, I let the boys and girls sit anywhere they wanted to as long as they followed a few rules. I didn't have a lot of rules, just pretty much manners, listening. And the boys were on one side, the girls were on the other, and I'm behind the podium teaching. And one of the little girls points down to my pant leg. Well, I had pantyhose in the pant leg that I had not taken out. I must have just thrown them back on without attaching them to my body. And so I'm over there just pulling this out on the right side, and the girls know what's going on. The boys don't. And the girls are hee-hawing, and the boys are trying to think, what's going on? And I just popped it right out, just kept on teaching. You know, so, and they bring it up to me to this day.
That's
and that
awesome.
Was years ago that happened.
I love it. It's so
I don't know if it humbled me. It should have, but I just kept on trucking.
Okay. So we got that out there, and I don't expect you guys to give one. I just want you thinking on that for now. All right. It's a fact of life. We have things that humble us. And we have things in our life that make us struggle. And we have things that cause us where we feel like we have a resistance against us. And so all of these things are a part of it. And that's what's happening within the community. And things are happening where people are struggling. There's infighting occurring. There's fighting from the outside coming. There's situations where people are being humbled. And so this is what James is countering. And so as we were looking at this, he starts it off and he asks this question. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? So before we do anything, let's just list out some. What are some things that causes fights and quarrels amongst us? That was a weird word.
Miscommunication.
That's a biggie.
Okay. What else? I know for myself, sometimes it's I make assumptions. Yeah. So that goes into miscommunication, but it's on my part, it's an assumption.
Yeah, it is.
And perceptions come out.
I think along with that, like personality differences and not understanding how the other person thinks and works.
A lot of times we do judge first before we know the person personally, or we go with somebody else's judgment, which you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad.
Yeah. It's easy to have those things happen.
It is.
I don't know why we do it, but we do.
We're human.
It's crazy. It's just bad. Okay, so these things are always going to be a part of it. And he says that it happened, he goes into the verse, he says, do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you want on your own pleasure. So as I was studying this, I thought, what does cause these battles? And I just wrote a list of the things based on just what James said. And it's pretty crazy. So my desires. So I want what I want when I want it. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Achan when they asked him in the Old Testament, so why did you do this? And he said, I saw it, I wanted it, I took it. You know what I mean? It's like that pretty much sums up anytime we sin because of desire. He says, because of covetousness, we see somebody else has something and we want to take what they have. And then he goes into quarrels and fights. The theologians say that that would be like a summation of like anger. And so the motives of allowing our anger to get in the way. And we don't ask God. But when we ask amiss. We're not asking for the things of God.
We're asking for our will and not his.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he refers to them as adulterous. These are all things that we're going to kind of break down as we go through. And then thinking through is like your pride mm-hmm. would be a part of it. And how we're responding to these things, and then slander or tearing down people, and that goes in later in the passage mm-hmm. when we go further down in the passage, we're surrendering to the devil instead of God. And so all of these are things that we have based on James's notes that we have here that cause us to go into battle. And so we need to be thinking about what can we do to break these down in us. And so I just, from you guys, I want you guys to share, what do you do when these come up in you? How do you counter it? What do you do?
I think the first step is just like making that observation. I know for me last okay. night, I was like super tired and my roommate was in the hall and I could tell that she needed encouragement. Part of me was just like, I just don't care right now. I just want to go to sleep. So like the first observation is being like, okay, I know I'm tired right now, but I need to love this roommate and this friend of mine.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. So recognizing what's going on inside us, that maybe my response is because I have a physical need. What do they say? If you're hungry, you're mm-hmm. tired, and you're...
angry.
Angry.
Oh, well, that's hungry, but there's a third one. Hungry, thirsty.
Is that it?
What is it?
I don't know. I can't think
there's
of
three.
It.
There's three.
It is. There's three. And I used to hit all of them.
I'll hungry, drink my water here.
Tired. What was the other one?
I don't know. We'll have to think on it. I'll remember it at 2 a.m. That's what
yeah.
I do. Okay, so we have to go through and have a check within our heart. Okay, what about you guys? What do you do when you have these things warring inside you?
I mean, I agree with making sure that you know that it's there. And then on top of that, a quick prayer of asking God for wisdom of how to deal with that, as Hosanna was saying, and speaking truth to yourself of if it's a right motive or a wrong motive of what's happening in this circumstance. Yeah. It's usually a wrong motive. And asking God how to deal with that and carrying through. And sometimes that's accountability when it comes yeah. to things needing to be carried through because you need someone to tell you mm-hmm. the things that you can't see even.
Yeah, this is good. Very good. That's awesome. Okay, so we have things we get passionate about. All right, this is really cool. In the Greek, you guys, he has some words in this passage. He actually uses the word murder, covet, adulterous, and these are also the same words that are in the Ten Commandments. And yesterday I did the Sermon on the Mount. Guess what? They're also the words that are in the Sermon on the Mount. So it's kind of fun in that James is taking what he knows they will know from having heard the Septuagint. Every single one of them would know the Septuagint very well. And all of them would have been a part of the hearing of what Jesus was teaching on these same truths. And so he's employing repetition orally to help them and putting it in written form from what they've heard orally to get them to be thinking on the things that they need. And the challenge is that the breaking down and reminding them that it's not just murder, it's the act of having it in your heart. It's
hatred, yeah.
Yeah. And so helping them to understand that they have to be thinking through these things. And so what I'd like for us to do is we're going to look at some scripture passages to help us see how this is set up. So learn more. We're going to have about commandment breaking. And so, Hannah, would you look at Matthew 5, 21 through 22 and 27? So just do Matthew 5, and then you'll do 21 through 22 and 27. Courtney, I'm going to have you do Matthew 19, 16 through 21. Hosanna, I want you to do the Romans 2, 21 through 23. And Sandy, if you would go and go back for us to James 2, 10 through 11. And let's just see what the scriptures have for us in these passages, okay? And we'll start off with Hannah's.
Okay, so Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. And then verse 27 says, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery.
Okay, let's go on to the next one, Matthew 19.
All right, Matthew 19, 16 through 21. And behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. And if you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go. Sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession.
Okay. And that one, what does he go in and what are the commandments that he's telling us we should honor? He gives specific ones like the honoring of
mother and father.
Right. And that's one. That's the one that has a promise with it. Mm-hmm. Says like you will be blessed if you honor your father and mother.
And he's reminding. And that's considering being disrespectful.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's several in there that he brings, and so we want to see how he's bringing them out and reminding them that we have to have this focus. So let's go to the next verse, which will be the Romans 2, 21 through 23.
It says, "You then who teach others, do you teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You say that people should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law?"
Hmm.
That's just going back to our thoughts.
Yeah.
Unpure.
Yeah. It looks like we went over, so we're going to have to come back to this point next time. God bless.